CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Live and the 1st of October. Yes, the rain has come just in time for the month of rain. You know, never before that. It's kind of a rule now. And I love the way it's started on time. I love when anything starts on time. I tried to start us on time this morning, but we were waiting for Leanne Moll, so she'll be with us in a minute. So far this morning, Bulelo, who's always on time, I got to give him that. Always, because always on time, always there without car. Right? Oh, hang on, hang on. For some reason, you're not coming through the right place. There we go. Hang on a second. Why are you? Now this is bizarre. I'm just hearing. I've got the music on here, and I could hear that through the system, but I couldn't hear you. Talk to me. No.
Yeah, what are your deepest concerns?
No, hang on. You're coming through the speaker. This is so bizarre. This is like aliens have invaded. Hang on a second. Let me
how
just.
Bizarre.
How bizarre! How bizarre! Yeah, hang on. I'll get this right, then even if it kills me. There we go.
Songs.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Now you're on. Hello, Bulelo. How's it? So I was saying.
Great.
Bulelo's always on time. And there's Ben Karpinski. Mm. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Sorry, I had some technical issues, but I'm back.
Yeah, so did
I. And I'm happy to be here.
I absolutely cannot get enough of October, and it's only like a couple of hours in. I don't know why I get giddy like a kid about this month. It's my favorite month of the year. Everything's just perfect. And you feel that pull towards the end of the year. It's just the best. Have you started making any plans, either of you, for the end of the year?
I'm going to go to Cape Town, definitely, from like the 20th, I think, because my parents have just moved house. So there's like a new family home for Christmas.
Nice.
Pretty exciting. Nice. But what I want to do is go do the road trip, because there's a big incentive for me.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Player's stud farm in the Karoo,
yes,
just outside of Colesberg, has now been turned into this really cool guest house thing. So you can actually go and relive the whole Player family experience. You can go hit the balls off the top of the hill. You can walk where he walked and no doubt spoke greatness to horses.
Mm.
I'm not sure if they serve bacon at breakfast, but even if they do, out of respect, I will decline it.
Will they give you things for free and not make you pay for anything like his children?
Oh, that's a good question. I have to reread I didn't read that far down the website. I was sold on the pictures alone. Yeah, so I want to do stuff like that, even if it's just me by myself.
I'll just get
a cat sitter. And then, head on down, road tripping.
That sounds awesome. You know, there's something really cool about traveling on your own. Like I did this this very short trip to Cape Town the other day, but I was in the airport on my own. There's something nice about it. You kind of observe other people, or you read a book, or you walk around, you look at what's going on. You kind of take stuff in, and you have time to think and process things. When you're traveling with somebody, you're always talking about the practical shit, like, oh, what time is the boarding gate and all of that stuff. So you don't spend a lot of time observing or thinking. Or I like traveling on my own. I don't like it all the time. It's nice to share things with people, but sometimes it's kind of nice. So
yeah,
here,
but
look
it's
at
also
this.
having time is so great for those little things, because you can go on any sort of tangent you want. It's great.
So Basitsana says in her best Kugel Joburg voice, how divine is this rain, Oaks? Good morrow.
It's thick out there.
Yes,
I'm looking across, like there's just this wall of trees now, because obviously a month ago it was just a wall of actual tree with no leaves, but now there's just leaves and it's just green. It's beautiful.
It's fantastic. It is so good. Venetia says, there's October is the moister month. Now there's actually a poem by C. Louis Leipold, which I remember learning in Afrikaans at high school. And it's called October. And it's the moister maand, and it talks about it's kind of like it's the Afrikaans equivalent, and I don't think I'm being unkind to either here, of Keats's season of mellow mists and fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, his To Autumn, which is obviously a different time of year. Yes. This is good literature. So, Venetia, thank you. You've reminded me of a very good poem. And if you want to speak proper Afrikaans, then read that kind of literature, and you'll have an appreciation for it, which is just transcendent. Not this bullshit that you hear on Sokjol Treffers number 17. Where it's like, ek hou van jou tita, hulle is vir my mooi, you know, that kind of shit.
Oh, I mean, that's... Let's not dismiss that as well. Like, I don't want ladies to stop thinking that we must stop creating an environment where a song like that can be made. You know, I do think it is good that ladies have the titas that we can find moi as well. Let's also not dismiss that.
Well, Nico asks Ben here. Ben, what do you think of Gary? I think he's a bit of a doers. What a question to ask Ben. You obviously haven't listened to the show before, because that's sacrilege. I mean, Jesus, what a thing to ask.
Everyone, Nico, calm down. Calm down. Look, Nico, everyone thinks Gary's a doers because the only thing they know of Gary is him basically in the press saying things about himself. Gary is a delightful man who's given a whole bunch to South Africa. He's actually one of the greatest South Africans of all time, and that's not just my words, his words too. And everything that he's done, if you look back from early days growing up poor to obviously becoming the greatest golfer in the world that had to travel 17 times a day, you know, you can't fault the guy. I think he's been through every generation of this country in living history. And when he dies, I think in about 40 years' time, you know, we will look back on this day and you'll have great regret in saying something so flippantly about one of the country's greatest ever sons.
Really, Nico, it's very crass. Very crass.
Yeah, obviously I could go in a bit further into this, but I think if you were to do your reading, do your research, you know, the guy's left an indelible mark on our lives.
Couldn't agree more.
He's got to embrace it.
Hey, he was also on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is awesome.
Was he?
Well, yeah. With the green jacket. There's a green jacket episode.
I didn't see that episode. I love that. Okay, so look. Here's Leanne Moll. She's hi. Hi, Ash.
Hi. Oh, hi. Oh, sorry, yeah. Had connection issues. Oh, and I think it might have something to do with the storm.
Yes, a storm.
Yeah, and you just like to make you like to make an entrance. Mm. That's just who you're becoming now. Just be honest. Da-da-da-da.
Oh, I've got a video. I've got a video I want to show you guys before we carry on with the show. So this is a Karen, and she basically she stops her car because these two guys are following her, which would be a reason to stop your car and call the police or whatever. But she gets out and starts berating them. Turns out they have a really good reason. They were trying to get her attention and warn her about something, but she's so busy Karening out that she misses the whole point. Just watch this quickly. It's hilarious. Take a look.
Never.
Leave me alone. Why do you keep following me? It's honestly so creepy, and I'm going to call the cops.
Ma'am,
okay?
No.
Because you guys aren't leaving me alone, and that's why women can't go out in the world by themselves, because of guys like you.
What?
Okay? So stop following me.
You have? I don't know if you have like a gas problem. You have a thing hanging out of your car.
What are you talking about?
There's literally a gas hose hanging out of your car. No one's being creeped. Oh. No, thank you, I guess. There's the thank you. That's. Oh, she's what? She's taking it with her.
All right.
Make sure to get all of it.
So.
Wow, dude. Nice.
Basically, this woman, she's so stupid. So what she's done is she drove off from the petrol station with the nozzle in the car, and she ripped it off the petrol pump, right? And she's got this thing hanging out of her car, and these two guys are trying to help her. But she comes over to them, and she's like, this is typical. This is why women can't be safe in this world, because of men like you. Why are you guys being so creepy and following me? Turns out they're trying to help her because she's got the fucking gas hose attached to her car. The dumbass. And you know what?
What a dumbass.
This is kind of where chivalry dies, because I promise you those guys are not going to help anyone the next time. And that woman needed help. And I'm not just talking about for her mental health. She needed help. There are a lot of people who are not going to help people anymore because they're sick of being called things out of context where they've done nothing to deserve anyone's ire, just because the social language and the culture around all of this stuff goes down a certain path. This is exactly where chivalry dies. And I thought when I saw this, I was like, so one of our listeners sent it to me on Instagram. I was like, this is typical. typically.
I can totally get the first part because some guys are creepy and some women are preyed upon. But as soon as you realize you're wrong, then, you know, be a human. Go back and say hi to the guys. Exchange numbers. Maybe go for drinks. Who knows? We could go somewhere. Don't just get in your car like a dumbass and just try to bundle the hose in and then go storm off in a heap.
She was just humiliated.
She was probably just, at that point, she was just humiliated.
Well, you must swallow your pride and be a better person, Leanne. That's what I always say.
No, I agree. I agree.
Although the classic bubble that got burst there is, oh, damn it. Maybe I'm not as hot as I think. You know, she was kind of, there was a part of her that was like, I hope they're following me a little bit. I hope it's for that.
Yeah.
Like
they're swallowing I'm not important enough.
That's great. That is such a good point. Hey, Jim says, there is a new Curb Your Enthusiasm season that's being released this month. I saw the promo. Not a promo. I saw the ad where they've got Larry's head and it says, the world has changed. And it's got Larry's big bald head and then it says, but he hasn't.
You see him at the US Open when people are clapping and he's like center court, right? Off the ash, and he's closing his ears and everyone else is clapping.
He's the biggest sports fan. He goes to basketball and he goes to American football matches and he goes to the golf.
No, baseball's his thing. Yankees guy, right?
Baseball.
And so he sits with the Steinbrenners.
That's right. But he's, he wrote the Steinbrenners into the Seinfeld script. In fact, I think he played some minor role in the Seinfeld show as one of the Steinbrenners people or whatever. So he's a big sports fan, but he can't stand when people pay attention to him instead of to the sport when he goes to watch. He's like, look, he points. He goes, watch the sport. What are you watching me for? What are you doing? He gets so annoyed. I love the guy. He's so human. It's a nutcase.
Awesome.
All right, so we got to Friday in one piece. It's the brand new month of October. We got quite a lot to get into this morning. We've got the guy who invented Sexpo is going to join us later on. He's an Australian. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Of course he's an Australian.
Suppressed
Australian.
There's a guy called Mr. Sexpo, David Ross. He's written a tell-all autobiography about life inside the adult entertainment bubble.
And not to be confused with the guy who painted your portrait, Gareth, with his penis.
No, that's Picasso.
Picasso.
That thing, Jesus, you just made me think. I believe it's in our storeroom at Cliff Central.
I remember when I left Cliff Central, I looked in the storeroom and there it was.
I think Bolelo should try and dig it out.
I should look after that. I should actually hold on to it because it may be a very funny thing. You know, when I'm 70 years old one day and my kids say,
of course
grandkids
it will be.
Or whoever, and they go, who's that in that picture? I go, it's me. It was painted with a guy's cock. You imagine how your kid, imagine how the grandkids will laugh and they'll tell all their
friends.
It's a
very flattering pic.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a flattering pic. I think you look pretty good in it.
I think so. So I think I'm gonna dig it out and keep it. I'm not gonna let it go to waste and get eaten by rats in our storeroom because you know that storeroom. People don't go in there much, right? Bulelo, when last were you in there?
No, I mean, like you said, once I went in there and I heard the rats copulating, I had to leave.
By the way, Bulelo is doing something fun next week, and I'd like to hear Leanne and Ben's thoughts on this. He's going to
That's amazing, because he never does anything fun.
He's going to the Otter Trail, and he's actually like the MC stroke host.
Not fun.
He's got experience in that world. What do you think of that, Leanne?
Are there otters on the trail?
Yeah. Gareth, you were only going to get that answer from her.
Great answer.
Well, why not, Leanne? Why not?
Great answer. Do you know what it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's something that I won't ever do in my life.
Yeah, there are two things. So Bulelo taught me something. I didn't know there were two different things. There's a hike, which is like 5 days, and then there's the race, which is a whole lot more pressure. And what you do? What have you done before? You've done the race, right, or the hike? Which one is yours?
Oh no! So I've run it with somebody who used to look after the trails. So I haven't done that race, but they're the guys who do it in like the top guys do it in 4 hours, just under 4 hours, and then the The back end of that will be about 7 hours.
And so isn't there there's some kind of place at the end where they hang up their shoes and there's like all these disgusting like shoes of people who've run that race, right? And they decorate this bar or something.
No, that's you thinking of Death Valley, and so that's more of an American thing.
Man.
So
there's a place at the Otter Trail. Someone sent me pictures of it, and I'm sure I've been there at some point, where like all the people who've run it, if you've done it and you qualify, because they can't have everybody, they actually tie their shoes to the roof or something. I'm sure there's a story.
If I'm being honest, that's probably more Sally and them that hike it. So on the running trail is the whole thing about trail running is you don't leave. But the only thing you leave behind is your footprints. And that part of the world, they are not playing around. You don't come there with your Joburg attitude sorry about the litter. You litter, you're banned from the race kind of thing. So there's no leaving.
Gareth, I wouldn't question Mbalelo on this. He's like the Alana Africa of trail running. He's there, he's, he shows up. Do not question the man. This is his wheelhouse.
But are you...
No, it's more like the Ben Karpinski, you know?
Are you...
And you don't have to run it.
Are you a big celebrity over there, Mbulelo? I mean, people know who you are and like, because you're the...
Of course. Yeah, like in that trail running world, in the running world, I've been doing my thing there for 5 years, kind of operating as the MC. So, people know who I am. Plus, I'm legit because I can actually run.
He's been called the Black Arnold Geertz, Gareth.
Hey.
Yeah, well, I did actually replace Arnold Geertz. That's not a joke. I really did.
Arnold Geertz is a friend of mine on Facebook, and he sometimes likes...
Me too.
Yeah, he sometimes likes my stuff, and then I get a bit of a thrill out of it. I won't lie. I mean, he's kind of an important dude. He certainly was.
Yeah. Great hair. Yeah. Still.
Speaking of, we've mentioned Gary, we've mentioned Arnold Geertz, we've brought up a bunch of legends this morning. It's really good. This is a good start to my weekend.
Oh, we've got so much to be proud of. You know, obviously last month was Heritage Month, and I don't think enough was made about these names. So it's good that we're doing it now in October as well.
Yeah. I remember Ben and I were particularly nostalgic about a newsreader from the 1980s. His name?
Yeah, the original alpha male,
Adrian Steed. And I remember I found out that his daughter was like in marketing or something, and she sent me an email, and I was like, wow, this is Adrian Steed's daughter. And I felt like I'd met, you know, like this would be equivalent to kind of meeting the president of the United States. Because in South Africa in the 1980s, we didn't really have stars. There were people like Adrian Steed on TV, and my God, was he incredible. He was like our version of Walter Cronkite, you know? Do you remember him, Leanne?
Yeah, I knew.
No.
Oh, God.
I know the name.
Do not lie. It was your first crush. Everyone loved Adrian Steed. Adrian Steed was like Ron Burgundy with like a V8 engine coming out of his chest. He was just, he was amazing. No, he was
ben,
the
not everyone's
everything.
Old. Not everyone's old.
Bilelo, that's like going to, that's like going to New York and saying, I don't like the fucking all these buildings, they're old. Like, greatness is greatness. Stop being such a heathen.
Yes,
Adrian Steed was incredible. He literally was the voice of everything. He used to do Springbok radio.
He was very powerful.
Dashingly handsome.
Yes.
He was a tall, statuesque man, and everything he did was amazing. So I don't know what else I can say, Bilelo. I mean, you ought to find a hole in that.
Can you imagine
doing everything amazingly? You know, I had not all a grootboom, but fair enough. I hear you.
It's a long time later. Here, look, here's Adrian Steed doing his thing. Look at that. There he is.
I mean, look at him.
Magnificent.
Look at him. He's like
in a brown. I mean,
like Kepler Vessels in his greatest days of the crease couldn't even look that steep.
Now, let me just remind you that
I'm like clearly not that old.
In the 80s, to wear a brown, various shades of brown and gray at the SABC, this was the height of fashion.
And he had no age. Look at him there. He could be anything between 18 and 74. He was just amazing. And when he told you about the Avia beer, you knew about it.
You shat yourself.
Say Adrian or Adrian?
Adrian Steed. No.
He was everything because, he appealed to everyone.
Look at this. Tracy's just recited a list like I was reciting Keats's poetry earlier of great names. Trevor Quirk, Adrian Steed, Gerald de Kock, Hugh Bladen. We've had some great sports commentator. Hugh Bladen. Oh, yes.
Yeah, look, there's a couple of tiers of hierarchy there, but I appreciate your efforts. Adrian Steed was the best, okay? He was everything. He was everything, and the rest were merely crazy. Just getting jobs after that.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. There's a little nostalgia to tickle you on a Friday morning. Isn't that nice? That's so nice. It's so special.
It always makes you think, like, it's such a shame certain greats of whatever they were great in were before the sort of, you know, online world, because we have no sort of, like, evidence of them. But then that also builds their legend, which is almost like works in their favor. Because if you don't know Adrian Steed, well, you missed out. But, like, imagine you go onto YouTube right now and you find him doing, like, a soap advert. Then you'll be like, oh, he's not so great.
Well, that's the problem with everything. Everything before the internet era is kind of in a memory hole. And unless you actually have your own memories of those things, there isn't evidence to back you up. Like, there might be in the SABC archives, but I defy you to go in there. You talk about rats copulating in our storeroom. Holy shit. I'm sure that everything in the SABC archives has been completely demolished. You know,
wasn't all sold?
They've probably taped over everything with bullshit, like, from now. Yeah, go ahead, Leanne. You had an interview?
I had a preliminary interview yesterday with a news network to be their sub-editor.
Oh, yeah?
And when I said, they said, you know, what experience do you have? And I started with my 16 years at the SABC. Yeah. And I could actually hear, like, the pain in her in her response. She wanted to say, I'm so sorry. That's what her voice was saying.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
And by the way, they don't keep archives. What a mess they are. Like, because we're doing a documentary on the history of South African football. Oh, my God.
And they don't have anything, right?
We're working with, like, Canadian partners, and they couldn't believe what they were hearing as an answer to where are your archives, how much does it cost?
If they do have archives,
when I joined there in 1998.
When I joined in
1998, there was an archive room. It had steel bars on the front.
Yeah.
And it was like in the TV shows where you see the cops going into inventory.
Yes. Yeah. But
there was a woman who archived everything.
The problem is that woman is still in there, but she's been dead for 5 years and they can't find the key. And knowing the SABC, 3/4 of it has been burnt for fuel in the boiler room. I mean, it's just incredible.
Her and the lady that tells the time, they're in the same predicament.
The woman who tells the time is in that same room. You know that when you hear the signal, it will be 6:26:14. Beep. That woman. I used to call that number just to check that every phone that I ever had worked. Even when I got a cell phone, I would be like, I've got to call that number. Otherwise, how do I know my phone really works?
So, does that still exist?
Yeah, well, I think so.
I don't know.
Let me see if I can call it now. I
don't even have a phone book.
Let me see. 1026. Let's just see.
I used to all of the clocks in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my balance is insufficient. That's embarrassing.
It's the first.
On the first. I mean, what have I been doing?
Poverty. Yeah.
Poverty. So here are a couple of names that you may remember. Dorianne Berry.
Oh, yes.
Yes, of course.
She was a saucy woman that, huh? It's quite something. And here's Michael De Morgan is another great name. He was proper. Jesus. I wonder if I can find a picture of him for you. Michael De Morgan. He was 6 hours. Oh, there we go.
8 minutes and 0 seconds.
That's so great. That is so
she
great.
Signed.
Wanneer u die sein hoor?
Oh, yes.
6:18.
Yes. She sounds as strident as ever, huh?
So I'm still doing so English and Afrikaans.
That's only English and Afrikaans because, you know, nobody post 94 calls that number anymore. So
no, this is why black people are always late. <It's 'cause>
you've cracked the code, Bulelo. That's exactly what it is. Oh my God!
If you just got not caller to do the voice.
If the Watts had just shared this number, we would.
There are a whole lot of black people dialing 1026, going, I don't understand.
Oaks, sorry, I'm late. It's just that my mom couldn't understand what time we should be.
Look at this guy. This work of art. This is Michael De Morgan. He was the newsreader when I was in nappies. This guy. Sweet
Sarah,
Jesus.
I remember these people very well.
He used to have a voice like this.
Good evening. This is the news.
Yes.
How do you remember that show, Pony, but not Adrian Steed?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
I don't know why.
It's so cool. Do you remember? Do you remember that woman who was on Mnet the first time when Mnet had just launched? What was her name?
I can't remember. A family friend of ours was one of those women.
Really?
Jenny Baron. Yeah, she was a
You're
continuity
making
announcer.
It up. Stop trying to climb on other people's coattails.
I promise you.
You know who was there all the time, of course, was Rian Kreivagen. I mean, he's been there since the dawn of time.
Oh, yes. I met him and, you know, I wrote his news.
Listen, stop making everything about you, Leanne. It's all me this morning from you. Really.
I had a friend on Mnet.
We have family friend on Mnet. I wrote Rian Kreivagen's news. What is going on with you? Are you a little bit, are you insecure this
Greatness,
morning? What's
Leanne.
Happening?
I'm with Leanne.
I didn't know Adrian Steed. And so I'm making up for it. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Didn't Candice Hillebrand make every teenage boy happy as a continuity person?
Oh, definitely.
Well, she was KTV then. Show. Yeah, I went from there.
Oh, here we go. That's
what
her name.
Show.
Doreen.
She is my second cousin.
Oh, shut up. Doreen Morris. Do you know who Doreen Morris was?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Of course.
No,
that's
yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
See, Sun Marie.
Hayden. Sue-Ann Braun was the original continuity presenter.
Sue-Ann Braun. Listen. You, Bulelo, you bring up Candice Hillebrand. Oh, my God. When I first met her, I thought she was the most beautiful woman. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that. I mean, I met her. I thought, ooh. When she was at an event, because I was just starting out in radio, and when she was at an event, I would think that I was obviously in the A grade just by being around her. And I'll never forget her saying to me, and she'd been famous for much longer than me by that stage. And she kind of condescended to speak to me once, and I thought I was in heaven. I could, like, breathe the same air in the same room that she was in. I mean, at that stage, you know, I would have made love to her shadow if it had passed me slowly enough. But she...
Understandable.
She said to me, oh, she went, oh, I only go to events when people pay me to. And this is before people were doing that. And I thought, oh, you're just made of smolderingness. There's just nothing better than this. She got paid. When nobody else was paid to be at things, she was paid to be at things. I think that's amazing. Jesus. Wonder what? Yeah. She moved to America or something, and she even released a song. And we haven't heard of her since then. Not that she's disappeared or become a loser, because a lot of people like to leave the media world behind them. And then everybody assumes that they fell off the face of the earth. But... You know, she.
No, Gareth, you must leave it here. Age has no doubt ravaged her like it does us all. Just leave it here just as that girl here. That used to get paid to go to events.
That's a good point. Here, Chris T says, "Don't you dare forget about Isabel Jones." Oh wow,
no one ever does, Chris. We often speak about Isabel. I think every time I'm on this damn show, Isabel Jones comes up. You know she's dead, right? Chris Frey doesn't even realize she's dead. She died a long time ago.
And she's still dead.
She died, because that woman put up with nothing.
How
dead is she?
Let me tell you a quick story about Isabel Jones, and then we'll get to the headlines and Ben has to go. But Isabel Jones was the very mark woman in most people's minds, right? But before that, she was a very credible consumer journalist. That's why Very Mark hired her, because she had huge reserves of credibility that other people in television and radio didn't have. I mean, when Isabel said to you that these are absolutely the best mince pies, then she knew what she was talking about. She used to do the mince pie competition in the newspapers. And if Isabel Jones told you Checkers mince pies were better than Pick and Pay, then fucking Pick and Pay's mince pie sales went under. They were ruined. They were ravaged, okay? So... We got her on my show when I was still in 702, and we got her to partake in a Radio Survivor game. It was her versus Granite the Gladiator, and and I think we had Unati, who was at that stage in Gai. She just started on a music TV show. And we had a whole bunch of other people. Isabel Jones took this thing so seriously. She literally... fucked up every single person in that competition. Every challenge, if I made them eat disgusting things, she held her nose and swallowed raw oysters and did whatever was required. And she, in the physical competitions, this little old lady, because she was already kind of old at that stage, she made grown men weep. She took on like bodybuilders and like fucked them up. She was so competitive. Hugely competitive. So she ended up winning. She won the whole thing. And
like if you were stranded on an island, you'd want her to be her with you.
Definitely. She would take on wild animals. She'd bring home the bacon. She'd make a raft out of bamboo and sail to the next island where you'd be safe. I mean, she was a powerful woman, that. So Isabel Jones, God
she
bless her.
She'd make clothing out of other human skin.
Yeah, she was honest, a hardcore woman. Let me tell you something. She
good for her.
When she left, the earth felt the emptiness for a little while after that. Plus, who could
the earth actually? The earth breathed a sigh of relief. It's like, oh, God.
Well, I mean, she comes knocking on your door. You know, you've committed some consumer sin, and she's about to unveil it to the world. I mean, people used to shit themselves. She'd go knock on like a factory door where there were these big, you know, Nigerian guys who'd been making, I don't know, biscuits that had too little flour in them, and Isabel Jones would scare the bejesus out of them. They would run back to Abuja. They'd be so fucking scared of her. She was terrifying. Little lady like this, tiny little woman with white hair. No one messed with her. All right, Ben, thanks for joining us.
For those
us
who
this
believe,
morning.
you know who loves Isabel Jones right now, old St. Peter, because she's making sure that the pearly gates are the best you can get in town. You know what I mean? Like, nothing squeaky. St. Peter can just do his admin thing.
Oh, yeah, no. She's watching.
She's rocking it.
She's probably taken over the responsibility of who gets in and who gets out of hell, heaven. She's,
who are you and what is your name? And let me see if I don't see your name on the list. You can leave.
There we go. All right, cheers, Ben.
Bye, guys. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you.
Bye, Ben.
There goes Ben. We've got a couple of interesting things to do today. I just want to quickly go through a few headlines, and then we've got a recorded interview. Now, I don't know how much you're into wrestling, but if you are, and you know, millions of South Africans are, it's one of the most popular things on television in this country. I don't understand it, but I got to speak to a dude who they call Angelico. So if you do know what I'm talking about, then you know, comment. We want to hear from you. But if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then just bear with me, because this is it's quite interesting. He's a South African dude, Adam Bridle, and he's better known as Angelico. And we spoke to him earlier this week, which I recorded and which I'll play out for you just now. So if you're into wrestling, you'll love this. And if you're not, take a listen anyway, because it'll wake you up to a whole world of, you know, stuff that most people don't even know about. So hang on for that. And that's coming up. It's going to be really cool. We've also got Mr. Sexpo joining us later on. And we've, of course, got George Meany, because it's a Friday. So stick around for all of that and more. So first of all, Borge. Yeah, Borge is back. First of all, this is a great story. I'm sorry Ben's just left. He's going to miss out on this, but it's his they were born on exactly the same day, Ben and Britney. And Britney Spears says she is over the moon. She's on cloud nine.
Yay!
In what appears to be a response to a judge has suspended her father as her conservator. The singer posted a video of her having a flying lesson shortly after news that Jamie Spears' role was suspended. Spears' lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, said it was his hope and expectation that the conservatorship would be fully terminated at a hearing on the 12th of November. Through his own lawyer, Jamie Spears called the ruling disappointing. Sher and Dionne Warwick were among those welcoming the judges. Sher and Dionne Warwick were all for. Now, what scared
like grandmothers of pop, man.
Yeah, but what scares the shit out of me is Britney was on a flying lesson. Now,
so what?
Me too.
So what?
So what?
Come on, what patriarchy?
Patriarchy? Did you see?
No, she's still, Britney's a mess of a human.
Still wanting to have control.
Do you remember? This is not a patriarchy. You know what? You are representative of a huge swathe of people who love Britney Spears, and you can't separate the fact that you love her or that she has had an amazing career, and she has, from the fact that she is a raving. Yeah. Lunatic, Leanne. She is a complete
wreck. Well, then sit back and watch the show and enjoy it.
She is a
enjoy what's to come.
Hot mess. Well, first of all, I don't that poor man in the plane or woman in the plane with her, because that person is probably dead already. And the damage that this woman is going to do to the world around her is going to be insane. First of all, she is not even allowed to be alone with her own children for good reason. Not because the world is conspiring against poor Britney. Leave Britney alone. Do you remember that guy? But because she is completely stark raving mad. I wouldn't trust her to sit the right way around on a lavatory.
Well, then sit back and enjoy the ride.
All right. If
that's going to happen, then that's going to happen. But rather she or... Yeah, probably her goes out that way.
You say that, but you know, people like that tend to take out a whole lot of other people with them, and they cause damage. I mean, she's famous for...
And she has kids.
She has with Kevin Federline. You remember that? Now,
Her current fiancé. Yeah.
Her current fiancé is also like 20-something and a dancer, isn't he?
He's like into body fitness and stuff. Mm. She's like living her best life at the moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but she has no idea.
She's beautiful.
She thinks she's a hockey stick. She doesn't know where she is. So Britney Spears, do you remember when we were worried? Remember when we were worried about Kevin Federline being, you know, like crazy and dangerous for Britney? Turns out he's the responsible parent.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus, just put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. Britney Spears. Jeez. Anyway, all these people.
Well, you know what?
What a mess. It's going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Well, Leanne isn't good company because
some people are just, you can't save some people.
Sher and Dionne Warwick are both on the side of Leanne Moll here. This is great.
Awesome. I love it. I just love the mess it's going to be. What I don't want to hear is shame Britney in like 2-3 years time when it all falls apart. I can't stand it. Like, you're free now because my old duck used to say that the worst thing in the world that can happen is getting what you want. So I'm happy for Britney now.
But guys, she's not in charge now. She's still got another person who's her conservator. So she's got some guy called John Zabel, who's an accountant, who her legal team each other. So the court has not said, there's nothing wrong with Britney. She's fine. They've said she's still
they've suspended it for now.
They said she's still a chocolate fireplace, but we'll just move it from her dad to this other dude. So nobody said
the problem that her dad was controlling the money. Is that what her problem was?
Yes.
Oh. Well, not only her money, he was taking some of it and he was controlling her. She wasn't even allowed to drive a car.
Listen, I'm sorry to say this to Leanne.
The worst thing about all of this is that if she does something crazy now, then she's going to be shot down by...
No, when?
But
when
people
does.
Like you.
No. When she does. When she does. Not if.
Yeah, exactly.
When she inevitably has a series of incredibly fortunate/unfortunate events. Hmm. I have no empathy. This is awesome. You're off the leash now. All the best.
So, in other words, you agree that this person should be controlled for the rest of their life?
Yes.
Yes.
They should rather euthanize her.
Put her in a cage and put her on a leash when you let her out of the cage because she is completely a danger to society and to her own children. And the reason she has no control over her own finances is because you cannot trust her as far as you can throw her. She's completely nutty.
But Leanne, what are you saying? Just let Britney live her life and just move.
Yes, what else are you going to do with a human like this?
Well,
you know, you can't lock them up in chains all their lives.
Yes, you can.
Let them live it out.
You can do that. In fact, there are lunatic asylums. All over the world that are chock full of people like this. And the reason that we keep them out of mainstream society is because they hurt other people and they damage property and they do insane things. If you let her have control of her finances for 15 minutes, she'd probably do what Michael Jackson did and go into some furniture shop and spend like 40 million rand in one fell swoop.
Yet he wasn't under curatorship.
He should have been.
Yeah.
Well, lesson learned.
We can't justify one wrong. How many
children's buttholes could we have saved if we just put Michael Jackson into?
Go on, Mbulelo, quickly. Tell us what you were going to say.
I'm saying Britney's even more dangerous than other absolutely insane people. Is that? Because millions of people think she's a hero.
Yes.
So she's
like you.
She's actually.
I'm not saying, in my opinion,
yes,
she should be controlled more than just your Joe Soap, who's crazy around the corner from me, who no one knows.
Put her on a leash. Stop this. And you know,
I didn't say that.
So her new conservator is this John Zabel guy, and he's going to keep an eye on the finances and make sure that she doesn't kill anybody. So good luck to him.
And he's going to do it for free. he's going to do it for free, I'm sure. So all their dad was taking some money.
All those people who've been like, Britney's free, you're not paying attention. You don't know what's in the news because she's not suddenly in control of her life anymore. No one with their head screwed on right would give Britney the controls to her own life.
We'll see, because it's been suspended now. And in 3 weeks' time, it's going back into the courts to try and have it removed fully. So let's see what the courts do at that stage.
So as in no conservatorship at all, as in the accountant guy can, that's going to be awesome. I'm here for the content, actually. Let me get my head in the right place.
I'm thrilled. As Leanne says, let's get ready for the ride. It's going to be great. She'll turn the whole of Nevada into a big glass crater. She'll probably activate some kind of atomic weapon by mistake, or she'll do it on purpose. And many people are going to be hurt by this lunatic being unleashed.
You've also got to take into account that by the very nature of being under conservatorship and lock and key for so long, that there might be a bit of a breakout session. But
that
could happen to anyone.
She is going to go unhinged. She's going to go on a rampage. Just watch. Anyway, it'll be lots of fun, as Leanne says. So let's watch. That's all the news we've got time for. I want to get into this this TNT interview. And I say TNT because that's the channel it's on, and a DSTV channel 137. But take a look at this. This is all elite wrestling. And if you care about wrestling, you'll find this very interesting. And if you don't care about wrestling, then I'll tell you what. You're still going to find it interesting. And the reason I say that is because I didn't know there was a South African dude who's quite a big deal in wrestling. So take a look at this, and I'll show you what it's all about. Hang on a second. It would help if I actually did this properly. Just hold on. I was about to start it, and then I screwed it up. I'm trying to be professional about this. There we are. There we are.
Well, here's something interesting. TNT Africa, which is channel 137 on DSTV, are launching a brand new AEW, which is All Elite Wrestling, Rampage across the African continent. It starts on the 2nd of October, 10 a.m., and you'll probably want to watch this. Now, we've got the world's strongest man, a guy called Mark Henry, who enters the fray as a commentator on AEW Rampage, as well as a scout, coach, and mentor at AEW. The former U.S. Olympic athlete held down a 25-year career in WWE, where he was a two-time world champion. So we're not messing around. Now, joining him on the screen is a Johannesburg-born 33-year-old Angelico, who actually brings an undeniable South African flavor, which we need, in All Elite Wrestling. In recent months, Angelico's star has risen significantly on the AEW rankings since he was featured on AEW Dynamite. He's on the show with me this morning. Hey, dude, how are you?
How's it? How are you today?
Good. I like that South African how's it. That makes me...
I've been away from my home country for a lot of years, but the how's it's never left me.
Now, let's just talk about your first AEW appearance. It was at the inaugural Double or Nothing event as part of the Hybrid 2 with Jack Evans. And since then, you've continued to impress in tag team matches and singles competitions, notably in an intense match against Cody Rhodes on AEW Dynamite. That was back in December 2020. And I won't pretend that I know all of this, but people have told me all of this. So it sounds incredible, man. And I can see that in South Africa, one of the most popular things on TV, without a doubt, is wrestling. It's great that it's happening with a little bit of local flavor. And it's launching, as I said, on Saturday, the 2nd of October on DSTV. That's channel 137. What can people expect to see from you?
Like you said, what I always try and bring to the ring is my unique hybrid style of wrestling, which I've garnered or earned and learned from my travels around the world as a professional wrestler for the last 15 years. And then my undeniably sort of South African spirit, I guess you could call it, always seems to sort of come out when I make my entrances or when I'm sort of posing off or trying to, trying to get under the skin of my opponents. I feel like these kind of quieter dance moves kind of fit in well, you know, they're kind of, in a way, they come across arrogant or cocky. To me, they represent home and they represent South Africa. So I just let those things flow out of me when I'm performing.
Sounds terrific. And I've got to qualify this because people will pick up if I'm trying to, bullshit people. I'm not the world's most include up wrestling fan, but what I do know is that you have a reputation for bringing all that liveliness and vigor in when you come into the ring. And I'm interested in how AEW Rampage for fans is different from AEW Dynamite. Can you give us a bit of a differentiation there?
Yeah, I mean, format-wise, it's slightly different. And it's a one-hour show. It's not 2 hours. But actually, in general, it's much of the same, which is a fantastic thing because 2 hours, I feel, of Dynamite a week is not enough for AEW. We have such a vast roster of enormously talented wrestlers that 2 hours just wasn't enough every week. So we needed that extra hour. And Rampage is going to give that extra hour, that extra 60 minutes a week for all the talent in the locker room, in the back, to really, you know, get another opportunity to be on TV, to show what they're all about, to show what All Elite Wrestling is all about. So Rampage is going to be different to Dynamite, but thankfully also very similar.
Sounds amazing. How did you get into this? How did it all start for you?
I mean, for me, it started when I was a kid growing up in South Africa. My grandmother took me to a WWF show in Sun City when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And it was the first sort of live experience I'd had of any sort, you know. And it just happened to be pro wrestling at the time. And yeah, it just something called to me that night when I was in that audience, when I was watching those guys in that ring. And honestly, the idea and the sensation of wanting to be a professional wrestler, it never left me from that moment onwards. And I can honestly say that from that point to now, I always just dreamed and imagined myself being a professional wrestler, and I just worked as hard as I possibly could at it. And thankfully, that's brought me here to All Elite Wrestling, and now I get to wrestle and represent South Africa to millions of fans all over the world, and I honestly couldn't be more proud.
That sounds amazing. So tell me quickly, you go by Angelico now, but apparently, you know, for people who are in the know, you were Backpacker Joe, then you were Blonde Superman. So what inspires these names? Where do they come from?
They're all a bit different. The ones that you mentioned actually are more sort of nicknames that I was given at certain points. The Backpacker Joe is when I was first touring in Japan. They said that Angelico name was very hard to pronounce for the Japanese public. So they wanted something different, something a bit more comedic. So they came up with the Backpacker Joe. But honestly, I hated it at the time. So it lasted maybe 2 matches and then I went back to Angelico. The Blonde Superman also, it was always Angelico, and that was like a nickname my friends had given me when I was younger, and that somehow came out in an interview and then somehow stuck to me for a few years. And then Angelico, the first time I was in wrestling school in South Africa, they asked me to write 10 names down on a piece of paper, and that was the one that they picked out. And 15 years later, that's still the name that I use today.
Really? So it's stuck around that long? Because I think it's probably hard to come up with a good name and be pleased enough with it that you stick to it. That's impressive stuff. All right, so tell me what your message is for African fans, and in particular South African fans, people who may have been following you for many of those years.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, thank you for all the support from back home. You know, I definitely feel it everywhere I go. I mean, I've wrestled in countries all over the world, and there've been fans in the audience, you know, bringing up South African flags. So to really feel that support globally is quite amazing. And then for the South African fans, just to keep supporting wrestling in general, from All Elite Wrestling, AEW Dynamite to Rampage, which is going to debut now on October 2nd, DSTV. To keep watching it, to keep enjoying it, tell your friends about it, tell your family about it. Wrestling's great again. That's the fun thing about it. You know, wrestling had a little dip for a while, but now it's all the way shooting back up. So it's a great time to jump back on board and watch wrestling again, especially if you're a fan when you were younger or back in the day. Now it's the hottest time to be a wrestling fan. It is every week something amazing happens. And also, I'm very proud to be the first South African AEW, but I hope I'm not the last. So that's a message going out to all those young wrestling fans in South Africa. I need to see some more South Africans out here.
What do you think it is about wrestling that gets people so hooked up? Because we know that it's massively popular all over the world, but, you know, especially in places like the US and South Africa, we've got massive audiences that tune in to watch these matches. What do you think it is? Is it the excitement of the moment, the stakes, the trash talking, the the playfulness of it? What kind of stuff do you think really inspires the fans and gets them thinking?
Everything you just mentioned, I think, you know, is a part of why people are attracted to professional wrestling. And I think above all else, it's that sort of eternal story of good versus evil, you know, and that's always portrayed in the ring. And that's what we look for in our movies, in sort of comic books, in literature, on TV. So wrestling is like that live action. It's like a live action sequence of good versus evil right in front of your very eyes. So you pick your favorite, you know, for whatever your reasons are, and you back him with all your heart and all your might. And that's what makes wrestling such a beautiful thing. You can go with the bad guys if you want to. That's what you're inclined to feel. You know, that's your choice. I don't know about you personally, but.
Well, for the super fans, I mean, which matches are you most interested in, especially when it comes to who you're going to be up against the most? Who do you like going against? Who do you think brings the most interesting dynamics to the ring?
I think definitely in the tag team division, it would have to be the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. Right now, I think the Lucha Brothers would be more on my radar because they're the new tag team champions. So obviously, if you're in the tag team division, if your goal is not to be the champion, you know, what are you really doing there? And those guys are incredible, incredible performers. You know, two brothers from Mexico have been, you know, just clawing their way to the top of the wrestling world. And all my respect to those two. But in the ring, I would love to have a tag team match against those two guys for the belts.
Does anyone that you do not want to be matched with, you think that they might be bad news?
Probably Paul White. I've seen the size of his hands. I don't know if you've seen him. He's like 7'2", and I think that might not be a nice match to have. But I'll take on the challenge. I'll take on the challenge. I won't be happy about it, but I'll take on the challenge.
What does it feel like to be in there? I mean, what does it feel like to know that there are millions of people watching, that any mistake is going to be seen by everybody, that anything you do that's really great and, you know, you pull some terrific move, you surprise somebody, you do something out of the ordinary, those kinds of things will be remembered by your fans for a long time. How does it feel? Is there a lot of pressure or is it quite exciting?
Yeah, it's both. It's pressure and it's exciting. That's, I think, why most of us do this. The nerves that we feel before we go out for a match. I mean, wow, that's so overwhelming sometimes. You know, your knees are kind of shaking because you can feel you can hear the sound of the audience. You can feel them, that they're out there. You know, 20,000 fans last week AEW had. You can feel that energy, and that does make you nervous. But as soon as you step out through the curtain and you're in front of the fans and your music's playing and you're there and you're in character and you're ready to perform, all those nerves go away. You know, now I'm not Adam Bridal anymore. I'm 100% Angelico. So now I can really start to feel it. Now I can start to flow. I can get into my flow state. I can enjoy that atmosphere. But the few seconds prior to coming out in front of the audience is probably the worst. But once I'm out there, I feel completely comfortable. But it's, again, backstage waiting to go out there is very nerve-wracking.
Do fans, like they would for either, you know, soap opera stars or for famous actors, do fans ever kind of expect you to be in character the whole time and expect you to be this crazy wrestling guy, even when you, you know, are walking through the shops buying, I don't know, socks?
Yeah, no, I think actually in general, like in this day and age, fans are much more respectful to that. There's always like a blurred line in wrestling, whether you're in character or not, you know, especially when you're using social media. You know, does he really mean what he's saying here, or is he saying it more out of character? So that blurred line sometimes gets a bit confusing for fans. But in general, I'd say on the streets and out of the wrestling environment, they're very respectful. I've never had any issues.
Well, I mean, it can be quite exciting, I suppose, for them if they think that they've spotted you and then you end up being in character. They're kind of something they didn't expect and they're probably quite pleased with. I remember I've met a couple of famous people. You want them to be in character secretly. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, because that's what you know them for, right? You know them as the character, not as who they really are.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely. Do you still have family and friends you speak to here in South Africa?
Yes, all my uncles and cousins still live in Cape Town. My gogo, my grandmother, my grandpa still live in Joburg. So yeah, a lot of family ties still in South Africa.
Fantastic. Are you planning to come out here and visit anytime soon?
Yes, actually, as soon as I can as soon as travel sort of permits and it's a bit more free-flowing to get between countries. I will 100% try and get to South Africa as soon as possible, mainly just to visit my family because it's been 2 years now that I haven't been able to come back. And I'm very desperate to see them all. So, yeah, I miss them all a lot, very dearly, and as soon as travel permits, I will be back.
So just because so many people are confused about whether or not wrestling is a serious athletic pursuit or whether it's also part performance, and it's probably half and half, you have to be pretty fit to do what you're doing. I mean, you have to keep in pretty good shape, and you're in extraordinary shape. How do you keep that up? Because you can't just do that in the ring. Yeah, there we go. Show off a little bit. Go for it. There we are. Yeah. He's no slacker. So what do you do to keep fit?
Yeah, so I actually have a lot of different sort of training routines that I interchange as the years go by. Right now, also through forced basically to do it through the pandemic as the gyms closed, was sort of body weight training. So I've always sort of been interested in it, and I've always done sort of dabbled in it here and there. But over the last years, when I really had to dedicate myself to, okay, like how can I maintain my muscle, grow my muscles, stimulate my muscles with no weights. Now, you know, there's no gyms open now for the next 6 months or longer in some cases. How can I make this work? So just a lot of investigation, a lot of trial and error. And now calisthenics is like, I love it. I love just training with my own body weight and just pushing myself that way. I interchange the calisthenics training now with a lot of skill training. So because I'm not that big for a professional wrestler, you know, it's just, my frame just doesn't want to hold that sort of muscle mass. It's not natural for my body. So I'm quite skinny compared to the other guys. So I thought, oh, well, if I'm losing out on strength and power, you know, I need to try and make up for that in other avenues. So agility. So now I'm training a lot more agility. And the more you train it, the more agile you become, you know, funny enough. And then balance as well. Balance is something that most people don't specifically train or work on. That in the ring, you know, the ring's moving the whole time, the guy's moving, the ropes are pushing you, you know, which way and backwards. So balance now has become a huge focus of mine. And then I would use other types of stuff to stimulate me. So like skill training in terms of skateboarding at the moment, I've got back into because I found skateboarding uses so much stabilizing muscles in my legs that I can't sort of get to with normal exercises. So that's become a huge part of my training every week now, just skateboarding every week. Basketball again. I've started playing basketball again. I love adding sports into my training routines, you know. Yeah, just trying to always stay active, trying to always like basketball and skateboarding adds to sort of creativity because no one's telling you how to move. It's not like you can just push the weights, you know, one specific way. It's very loose. It's so I like that. I like training in a very controlled way and a very uncontrolled way, and then sort of meeting in the middle, which is what I really am as a performer.
And obviously, you know, those kinds of things help you to be nimble too. I mean, you mentioned like in terms of sheer body weight and mass, you're not the biggest guy in the ring necessarily, but being quick is sometimes better than that, right?
Exactly. So if these guys are bigger and they've got more power, that also is going to mean they're a bit slower. They're heavier, you know, that mass is real. So I can use my agility. I can use my speed to my advantage. And obviously if I train more in those aspects, then I become better at those aspects and then I'll be able to use them better against my opponents. So it's just sort of finding what fits with you as a performer or as an athlete rather, and then just sort of keeping on that avenue, but not being so strict. I like that my avenues sort of twist and wind.
Well, listen, man, it's really good to meet you and to have you on the show. I'm always thrilled to meet people who do stuff that involves a whole community of people, millions of people all over the world, who are just absolutely fanatical. You're making South Africa proud, so we're thrilled to have you on the show this morning. And I can't tell anybody enough that you got to watch what Angelico Adam is up to this coming Saturday, the 2nd of October. It's all happening on TNT, which is DSTV channel 137. And it's on at 10 in the morning. So even if you are hungover the next day, you'll still have time to recover and watch the show. This is terrific.
That is right. Well, no excuses. AEW Rampage will be the best way to spend your Saturday morning. I damn guarantee it.
Thank you so much, man. Good to speak to you.
Thank you, guys.
CliffCentral.com.